place. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your presence today, Lord. We thank you for your people today. Father God, that have come, Lord, to hear from you today. God speaking to us today. Amen?
Amen.
He didn't start when we walked in this building. He started when we woke up. He's always speaking, but we woke up. But our spirit, even though when we sleep, our spirit is alive. You can hear God when you're asleep. The Bible talks about he speaks to man when that deep sleep comes upon him. God can speak to you. Stir your spirit up, because when your mind tends to think on what it sees, what it hears, what it smells. The Word of God, don't look at those things. We look not at what we see. We look at who we believe. We look at God. We look at his Word, his promises. Lord, we bring glory and praise to you, the everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Glory to God. Peace is not determined on our circumstances. Peace is determined on God. Amen. I'm ringing a little loud there, Terry. You're good. I'll bring it up. Father, we thank you. I thank you for these people that have ears to hear today. They came here to hear, not from me. You're going to hear my voice, but it's going to be inspired by God. Because that's, if you're looking for something from me, I'm going to fail you. But God is faithful. He is faithful. Amen? All the time. He's faithful. And he has compassion. He's a loving Father. And he is here to meet your need today. Amen? We're going to talk about your finances. We're getting ready to give here. Take up the offering and present it to him. If you need an envelope, they're in front of you this morning. Just make your check out to Word of Faith Worship Center. But have a purpose in your heart to give. You know, and we're never here to turn giving away. But I would rather you not give if you don't have a purpose. And keep it and believe God for a purpose and then give. Because God wants that coming back to you. And he wants you to be not out of necessity, believing him for something. He wants you to come in here with a cheerful heart, expecting that he's a good father. Man, when my kids come to me needing something, they're believing, they're expecting me to give it to them. Amen? For one thing, they're expecting that I've got it. And if I don't have it, they believe Daddy can get it somehow. Well, I tell you what, our Heavenly Father is a whole lot more dependable than I am. He's got a whole lot more resources than I do. But there's somebody else Jesus left me, that can help me. He's called the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
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 And he is alive. He is the third person of the Godhead working in the church, in the earth, in you, in me.
Yes.
And he's faithful.
Yes.
Whatever the Father, whatever Jesus says, he does it. But we've got to be in agreement. We've got to choose to believe his promise. Choose to believe that he's a good God. Amen.
Yes.
And he's got great things in store for us. Storehouse. When I went to the Gray's Church a couple weeks ago, they gave us a book called The Storehouse Principle. About that thick. I've got to get on there and start reading it. Because when somebody gives you something, they're hearing from God. That's important. Amen. That's where we're going this morning. If you want to turn with me in your Bible, if you don't have a Bible, there's one in front of you in the pew. Because don't take my word for it. Take God's word for it. Amen. It'll make you become the head, not the tail, above only and not beneath, because that's what his word promises. If his word's conditional, we got to believe it. That's the condition. Jesus said, they asked him, Lord, what can we do to do the works of God? Believe. Believe what he said. John 21, this is a familiar scripture about Peter. Does anybody know what Peter's secular job was, what he did for a living? He was a fisherman. I'm glad I'm not doing that for a living. My kids would not be expecting a whole lot, because hadn't never been too good at fishing. John 21, and we're going to read verses 1 through 7. Now, this is just after Jesus had appeared to Thomas in the upper room, came walking through the wall, because Thomas said, unless I see the print of his nails and put my finger, unless I put my hand and thrust it in his side, Thomas said, I will not believe. Jesus showed up. Jesus showed up. And Thomas quit doubting then, because he's seen, and Jesus spoke those words, Thomas, here I am. Put your fingers in here. See, Jesus heard, even though he wasn't there when Thomas spoke those words. But Jesus still came.
Yes.
Thomas doubted, but Jesus still came. Because God, Jesus is faithful. He called Thomas. Hello? He's called you and he's called me. Mm-hmm. Jesus is going to show up.
Yes.
Or are we going to be there? After these things, after Jesus had showed himself to the disciples, to Thomas, he showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, Jesus showed himself. He is the way. Right? He can show you his way. It's the good way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of the disciples were together. Now to say they were fishing. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. And they said to him, well, we're going with you too. You know, friends stick together, right? We're going fishing. Don't come on, Peter, I'll go with you. And they went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught how much?
Nothing.
Fishing, if you a fisherman and you go fishing, don't catch nothing. It ain't fun. Amen. They caught nothing. All night, Terry. All night. I'd have quit halfway in if I hadn't caught anything. They kept on fishing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, children, what's he saying to you today? Children, have you any food? And they answered, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, I think he's a little loud this morning, it's the Lord! He didn't just say, it's Jesus. It's the Lord! We got fish, Peter. It's Jesus. It's the Lord. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody sink my boat with fish but Jesus. It's the Lord! And Simon, when he heard it was the Lord, says he put on his outer garment. He just jumped in the water. He didn't care about what he looked like. And he went to Jesus. He plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in a little boat, for they were not far from land, about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. And as they came to the land, they saw fires, coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to the land full of fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Amen. Today, you know, we started out this year talking about the Lord impressed on me that this is a year of great change. He hasn't changed what he spoke to me. It doesn't matter what season of life you're in. I think it's time to look for an explosion in your finances. Not just in your finances, but we're specifically talking about finances. I'm talking about an explosion in your finances and what you're believing God for. This same thing happened to Peter when Jesus called him over three and a half years prior. That was the purpose God gave Peter. He said, he let him use his boat, and he taught out of his boat, and then Jesus blessed him with a bunch of fish the first time. And he said, now, Peter, I want to make you fisher of men. Jesus never gave up on that calling that he called Peter. But Peter was wondering if he really heard from God. Jesus is gone now, 3 years later. He's left the scene. But he came back to encourage Peter. Did the same thing. Fish. See, where are we going to find our explosion in what we're believing God? In our finances? Keep doing what you know to do. If you're a fisherman, if you're working at GE, if you're working whatever talents God has given you, keep him first in all that you do, but keep on doing what you know to do, because Jesus is not giving up on you. Peter was good at fishing, but God needed Peter to fish for men and preach the gospel. So when that time in your life, that transition comes, answer that call. He's going to take you from where you are, and we're talking about an explosion. And Peter went from being just a fisherman, a fish, to catching men for Jesus and telling them. And it got to the point where Peter, even as he walked by crippled people, people that were sick, even his shadow, they got healed because he was walking with Jesus. See, had he been in the boat fishing, there's no people out there to get healed. There's no people out there to get saved. There's only fish. Amen. That's only getting your needs met. That's fish to feed me and my family. Well, God wants to do an explosion in our life. He wants us helping others. Amen. And it takes a miracle in our life, in our finances, in our families, for us to go do what He's called us to do. And how do we do that? Mary had the mother of Jesus go and do what Jesus says to do. Just go and do. Be obedient to what He says. The fish were there. They were right in the middle of the miracle. But they didn't know what to do. They didn't know what to do. They had did all night what they knew to do. Throw it out. Throw it out. But Jesus says, throw it out over here. See, that's where the miracle is being exactly where He says to be, doing exactly what He says to do, and trusting Him all the way. He's faithful. Amen. And that's what we do here when we give. We're putting the kingdom first. What we've done this week, we're taking it apart and we're setting it aside and we're giving it unto God. And you need to be expecting an explosion, that net-breaking catch. Because God needs us doing bigger things. Amen. He needs Word of Faith Worship Center doing bigger things and their people. So stand with me this morning. And I want you to see, just like Peter. See, Peter couldn't see that it was Jesus from the seashore. But he heard the word. See, he remembered the works that Jesus did. Only Jesus can create a miracle. And if you think about it, it really wasn't a miracle. The fish were there. He just needed the wisdom of God. Lewis was talking about the wisdom of God. We need to hear from Jesus. What does He say do? Who does He say vote for? Don't worry. Our focus is not on what they can do. What am I going to do? See, God just tells us to do what we can do. What do you have in your hand? What have you got here that you're going to give this morning? Don't see it as what you have. See it as what you can help others with. See, you're giving it to God, and He's going to make it multiply. See, don't see what you have. See what it can become in the kingdom. How it can bring people in to this church. They can hear this good news on the radio. Good news. It's good news. If they're not hearing good news, that ain't the gospel. Amen. You need to be hearing good news. That God is the God of increase. He's the God of increase. Amen. Multiplication. You can have your bread, have your cake, and eat it too, is this old saying. Amen. All right, we got faith right there. It takes faith to receive things from God. So let's agree. Father, we just thank You right now. Just like Peter, Lord, whatever You say to do, You said give. You said bring your tithes and offerings into the storehouse. Yes. And prove us. You told us, Lord, we could prove You today that You are not open the windows of heaven and cause a blessing to come into our lives, Lord. Yes. That we can't even contain it. It's going to be so much, Lord, that we got to help others with it, Father. Just like those fish, the nets, they wasn't breaking. There was such a great multitude, Lord, that was to help others. Yes. And Father, we're just believing and expecting that for You, Father. That's who You are. You're a God of multiplication and increase. You bless Your people with good things. So, Father, I just thank You as Your people sow into the kingdom today, Lord, that they have a promise from You, Lord, that they will hear from You, they will take that direction, and they will do what You've called them to do, and they will be who You've called them to be. And there will be no lack, because Jesus, You are our shepherd, in whom there is no lack. You provide all of our needs, and it's according to Your riches in glory, by the Anointed One, by Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Bring your tithes and offerings and worship the Lord. And expect an explosion in your finances. Hallelujah. We're going to be in 1 Peter 5. And I'm not going to read that whole chapter, but I would recommend you read it. Because we're going to be here, I don't know how long, until the Lord releases us from this topic. But talk about being their stability and humility. 1 Peter 5 through 7 says, likewise, ye younger, Submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under his mighty hand, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So that's what Peter did. He casted his care where Jesus said, on him, on the right side of the boat. And they brought all the fish, their nets were full, overflowing. Humility is a state of mind that is well-pleasing to God. To stay humble, that's well-pleasing. Jesus always did that pleased the Father. And it preserves the soul in tranquility and makes us patient under trials. And let me say this, God's not bringing the trial. That's coming because of the word that's on the inside of you. The devil's trying to steal that word. He's going to bring all he can against you to try to make you give up on God, what God has said. We have to resist that. Jesus was the greatest example in Philippians 2, 6 through 8, who it says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself. If Jesus humbled himself, we have to. He's our example. And became obedient even unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, I'm not telling you to be a martyr, but we need to be prepared to be a martyr for the Lord. But even unto death, we've got to believe and humble ourselves and stay under God's mighty hand even until, I just say until, no matter what you're going through in that situation, don't move from where you are with Jesus. Don't give up your seat beside Jesus. Don't give up your seat. He's the pilot, right? He's not the co-pilot. He's got to be the pilot. Amen. There's a bumper sticker. You remember the old bumper sticker? Jesus is my co-pilot. No, you need to change positions. He needs to be your captain. He's the captain. Amen? Amen. Lord, make him Lord of your life in every area. And then that will get you into stability. That was humility. Humble yourselves. That's what Jesus did, even unto death. Stability is the state or quality of being stable. Good stability. That means resistance to change or displacement. Consistency of character or purpose or being steadfast. Steadfast in your faith. The ability of an object, and I like this, stability, the ability of an object such as an aircraft to maintain equilibrium or resume its original or upright position after displacement. You remember the little weeble wobbles? You remember those little things? You knock them and they just stand right back up as a kid. Those toys, boom. See, that's a Christian. Though we get knocked down, see, God on the inside says, get up, son. Proverbs, my son, attend to my word. Get back up. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but out of them all the Lord delivers him. But we got to stay diligently listening for Jesus. What did he say? That was 3.5 years ago he said he was going to call me to be fishers of men. It's been over 16.5 years he called me here. And he really spoke to me heavy on my table this morning, re-encouraged me of the ministry. And it's beyond here. He's called me to go out from here. Now, I'm not talking about not being displaced from this church, but he's called me to go out and teach. So that means he's going to bring more people. He's bringing leaders into this church. He's bringing people into this church. That's going to, y'all going to send me out to go catch. See, I feel like that's the evangel call, to go out and go out there and teach. Some will come here, some will go in other places, but there's people that are displaced in the body of Christ. There's some out there that's not even in the body. They need to hear the good word. Amen. He told me this morning, launch out into the deep. Remember he told Peter, launch out into the deep. He's telling me personally to launch out my faith for bigger things. Amen. So, you know, I'm the leader here. God's appointed me here. That means bigger things for you guys. Amen? So agree with me there that I gotta believe this, launching out into the deep. Where is the deep? It's where the fish are. I need them. God needs them. He needs them into the kingdom. Amen. Not just those that are lost, but those, my people, that are called by my name. They're perishing for a lack of knowledge. There's others out there that are lost. They're lost, but there's others that are lost, saved but lost. Amen. They don't know where the blessings are. They don't know. They're just at ground zero. Remember ground zero? That's a place of rebuilding. They need to be rebuilt. They need their foundation anchored and rooted in the Word of God. And we're going to go from there. And God needs us to be stable. And we're going to go back through 1 Peter and take some teaching through this. But here's a specific word today for this series is to be a great leader. And we're just not talking about up here in the fivefold ministry in the pulpit. Be a leader where you are. God needs all of His people being leaders. But to be a great leader, He wants you being the great leader. You must be a humble follower. Follow. Jesus picked 12 main disciples and He told them, be the leader. He said, follow me. See, to be the great leader, you got to follow the great teacher, Jesus. And Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. See, he always exalted, lifted up Jesus. Because the religious people were against Paul. It wasn't so much the lost people, it was the religious people. And there's going to be a lot of your enemy is not going to be so much the lost people. It's going to be the ones that think they have a foundation, think they're hearing from God, and they're going to try to get you off course. Are you believing God for that? You believe God will do that for you? You believe Jesus can actually create an arm? I mean, these are things we need to stretch our faith and launch out to believe God for new lungs. New hearts. Man, He is the Creator. He hasn't changed. He makes dead things come alive. He changed my life. What can He do to a physical organ, for a body? Amen? It's not impossible for Him. So let's get into 1 Peter here. Say, I'm a disciple. And I'm going to be. No, and I am a great leader in the kingdom of God. 1 Peter, we talked about 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, how that Peter, verse 1 says, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. We sang about that glory this morning. Peter was addressing the pastors, the bishops, and the deacons. Noticed, and we talked about this, he didn't call himself the Pope. He was talking about to the elders. He called himself an elder, not the Pope. See, he wasn't looking on to build a reputation. He was looking to build a kingdom that's already been built, whose foundation and maker is God, established on Jesus Christ. That's the foundation he's starting from. Peter was already a partaker of the glory that would later be revealed. So are we. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, 2 Corinthians 4:7 tells us. In earthen vessels, it won't be totally revealed until we have our glorified bodies totally revealed. But we can go from glory to glory, from story, from testimony to testimony of the great things that He's doing and He's going to do. Spirit, soul, and body. Amen. And I want you to get in agreement. Two of them get in agreement. Your body doesn't have a say-so. It doesn't have a mind. Your spirit is the leading process. Leading. Your mind, get in an agreement with the Word of God, your spirit man, and your body will do what the other two agree on. Amen? See, your body is just a body. It doesn't have a mind. That's different. You're a three-part being. 1 Peter 5:2. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. Now this is Peter talking to the elders of the church. Not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre or for filthy money, but of a ready mind. but of a ready mind. This is the instructions for the elders in the church. The elders' primary job is to feed the people. My job is to feed you, is to give you what God has given me so that you can go out here and be successful and be a light in a dark place, is to give you hope. Yet so many pastors today are preaching to the lost every service. Now, we have a message for the lost. Jesus is the way. He is the truth and He is the life. But once I know everybody in here has made that confession, there's more you need to know. Amen? I mean, that is the greatest miracle ever. But Jesus taught in all kind of areas to minister. What is it? 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Your whole body, your whole man, be blessed in the earth. Yet so many pastors today are preaching to the lost every service. That is the role of the evangelist, not the pastor. Pastor, teacher. You're going to have some teaching here. Not everybody that comes in, visits here, maybe stays because maybe they're not called to that specific part of the body. They might, man, he's teaching. He ain't preaching. He's just teaching. I might sit down up in a chair one day and teach. Jesus sat down and taught them. Man, preacher was up there sitting down in a chair. Of course, there should be people born again in our church services too, but church gatherings are not supposed to be primarily evangelistic all the time. Man, we got to have balance in the body. Amen. Whatever God needs to speak to us, He wants us. He's training us right now to be stable, to have stability, but it comes from humbling ourselves on what He's telling us right now. And you're going to hear a lot of faith here. This is a word of faith worship center. We preach faith. In everything that we do, everything that's going to come out of this pulpit is going to be mixed with faith. That's the only way you're going to grow. Because it takes faith to please God. Amen? Amen. It's all going to come down to faith. If the pastors are truly doing their job, they will feed the sheep, and then the sheep will go out and do the evangelizing. Testimony. In their daily lives, sheep, not shepherds, are supposed to birth other sheep. I'm a shepherd. I don't give sheep. The sheep have sheep. I'm here to lead you, to feed you, and you'll go out and you'll start talking about Jesus, and somebody, you'll be that fisherman that goes out and reels them in. And then you bring them to church, and then they get to hear something they've never heard before. They come here, they're going to hear some things. Amen. You're going to hear some different things. We're a peculiar people. You're going to hear peculiar testimonies about what the Lord has done and is doing. That word, the English word oversight, means supervision. He's given me supervision over this particular body here, just to supervise. And I need help. Amen. I need help. Supervision. This is speaking of a position of authority that oversees others at work. And the works that you're doing, the main work that we do is just show the love of Christ, share the love of Christ. And in doing that, you will prosper in your secular job, whatever God calls you to do. Amen? Elders should willingly take this responsibility. If they have to be forced into it, that violates the instruction of that verse. Willingly, not under constraint. The board, they didn't have to strangle me to say, well, you pastor the church. But they knew that desire was already on my heart. They approached me and they asked me. And I had to really seek the Lord to know, okay, Lord, is this really where I need to launch out right now? And I had peace. But see, it wasn't under constraint. And I've always, in the ministry, it's never about the money. And if it ever gets to where it's about the money, then you're out of space. You're out of place in the body. But now, do I receive? Yes. But I never make that my filthy lucre. I'm after souls. Change people's lives. And in the process, the Bible talks about that man is worthy of double honor. Amen? And that's what we believe. That's what we teach. See, because God is the source. And He uses His church. He uses His people. And He'll even use the lost. Amen? The unsaved. Why would He have to do that? The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Amen? 1 Peter verse 3. neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Elders, and we're talking about elders, that'd be pastors, assistant, associate pastors, deacons. Elders are supposed to lead Bible, our children's ministries, our teaching, our teachers over here. We're supposed to lead by example, not by intimidation or strong arm tactics. I ask Lewis to open up. I don't tell Lewis what to preach. I don't tell him what to open up. I just ask him, Lewis, will you open up Sunday morning? Reed, will you take up the offering? See, that's the rest is up to God. I want to hear what God has to say through them. There's no step one, two, three, you do this and you read this verse. There's none of that. Because see, here we have liberty in the Spirit. That's not constraint. That's bringing in a fresh word, what God needs to hear, and using all parts of the body. Amen? Jesus said to his disciples, and he even got to where I'm, no longer do I call you my disciples, I call you my friends. And I look out here and I'm seeing friends. A lot of places and churches, you can't go to that. If there's enemies in there, you got to look at them even though it's friends. Even though you know they're your enemies. See, they're not against you, they're against God. And what you got to do is show them God. And Solomon did that, and he had peace in his kingdom. Even his enemies became at peace with him. Why? They saw the favor of God on him. They can't resist that. Some of them still do it, but majority, God will even make your enemies be at peace with you if you just continue to show the love of God, do what he says to do, no matter until. Amen. Jesus said to his disciples, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. See, we don't look to the world to determine what the church does. The world should be looking to the church to determine what they should do. This is how our government has got to change. Our nation has got to change. The church has got to stand up and declare who we are, and we shall not be moved. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We got to have the same testimony. Lord, you throw me in the king, you throw me in the fire, so be it, but we're not going to burn. You know, we got a testimony, our God's greater. We're not going to bow to you. We're going to bow to Jesus. And we got to, if the government does not lead us that way, then we do not submit to that government. That government's got to be godly ordained, telling us things that are, now we're not saying they're saved, but if they're telling us to do things immoral, we're not going to do it. We're not going to do it. I'm going to serve, Peter said, better to serve God, you judge. I'm going to serve God. And it cost him getting crucified, but it cost a lot of miracles in the kingdom of God before that. Before he ended up on that cross like Jesus upside down, he turned that kingdom upside down. He healed some people, delivered some people, preached some people. Amen. He got some fish for Jesus. And it cost him his life. So that's the point we've got to be looking at. That's the focus we've got to have. Just like Jesus, just like Peter. It's not going to be that way among you, Jesus said. But whoever among you is great shall be your minister. And whoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister. And to give his life as a ransom for Reed. For Larry, he gave his life for others. He didn't count his life as anything. He counted it for others. And that's the point we've got to come from. And at this point, I'm going to ask Miss Tammy. She's got a testimony. When you count your life as nothing but the life of others greater, this is where stability under humility comes from. And she's got a testimony I'd like her to share. And I think you got the mic with you, Miss Tammy, about how you can be stable in the worst situation.
Amen.
You have to hold it up here.
So amen.
There you go.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, I entered into a business arrangement that I thought, you know, on the outset it looked pretty good. I thought it would bring a lot of financial blessing to us, and that I thought it would work. But I knew in my heart of hearts that even as I sat at the table, that there was no peace. There was a churning on the inside of me. And there really was no peace there. But I didn't want to disappoint my future business partner, so I signed the deal. However, that churning on the inside never let up. And I said, God, I can't go through with it. So I contacted her and contacted the organization to say that I would no longer be a part of this deal. Needless to say, she was very, very upset. And a lot of things came out in our conversation. And I have to interject this. This mm-hmm. is a testimony in progress.
Amen.
Yeah, it's a testimony in progress. Because I got out of the business deal, I didn't get out of the business deal within the time span that they had set. They have said that, you know, we're going to charge you for this. So you're going to be charged a couple of thousands of dollars for it. I shared it with my husband, and I thank God for my husband.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we prayed about it, and he said, I don't want you to worry about it or fret over it, because we're going to get through this.
Amen.
We're going to get through this. The enemy has come and has said to me, oh, you think that you're only going to have to pay these a couple of thousand. It's going to be much more than that. He started talking in my ear and started telling me that, oh, yeah, she'll probably turn around and try to sue you because of this. But I had to turn to the enemy and say, I have a blood covenant partner.
Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. Thank you.
And my debts are his debts.
Yes, amen.
And my possessions are his possessions, and his possessions are mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I stand on that covenant relationship.
Yes, Jesus.
And that's where I am today.
Amen.
I'm standing on my covenant relationship with Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. That what he has, I have too.
Yes, Lord.
And I know that he is a man that he shall not lie.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that he is a deliverer.
There you go.
So I look forward to giving the rest of this testimony.
Amen.
When the deliverance appears.
Yes, Jesus.
But I know that the deliverance is mine.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. I just like, would you and Reed and Darius just stand right there? Because she's, Tammy, there's a key word she says. She says, we're standing. We get to laugh at the devil right now. We get to laugh. Because, see, they're standing for God. I remember in the Old Testament, there were some people that were standing against Moses. And Moses pretty much says, you decide what side you're going to be on, but either go over here with us or stand over here. And I remember the earth opening up and swallowing up some people.
Yes.
Well, thank God we're in a new covenant. God's not going to swallow up those people, but he's going to swallow up that situation.
Yes.
See, because that's going to be removed from you as far as the east is from the west. Because you're standing with God. You're on his side. And you're covered under his shadow of the Almighty. So, Father, we just thank you right now, Lord, for this testimony. But, Lord, by your testimony, we overcome. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of this testimony of this family, Lord, this is done. They're stable. There's stability in this family because they humble themselves under your mighty hand. And the devil, you have to flee. Not only will they not have to pay, but, Lord, they will be recompensed in the earth through this situation, Father. I'm not saying these people. I'm saying, God, they're going to be recompensed in the earth because, Lord, they stand for righteousness.
Yes.
And you said you will exalt them in due season. So, Father, we stand together as a church, and we're thanking you, Father God, for that due season right now in advance. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. There's stability in humility. We can be stable even though the devil says, you're going to pay more even what you got invested. Jesus just says, shut up. I'm going fishing. Just do what relaxes you. You know, go out. Just do the complete opposite of what the world would do. The world would get the lawyer. I'm going to get, well, I better get my lawyer now. I better get all my ducks in a row. No, Jesus, I cast this care upon you because you care for me. And that's what I heard they just did. Before this, they're just giving their testimony today. So, Father, we thank you. You're faithful. Great is your faithfulness in all the earth. And your people, Lord, will not be, they shall not lack. Lord, we thank you. And, Lord, we thank you right now for these individuals, Lord. We thank you for their salvation, Lord. You said, bless those that curse us and pray for those that despitefully use us. Lord, we just release them right now. Their forgiveness has been released. And we thank you, Father, for your great mighty power, Lord, that you're able to handle it. Amen. Peter chapter verse 4 here, 5 verse 4. Peter's still exhorting the elders. And he says, and when the chief shepherd, who is the chief shepherd? Jesus. He is the chief shepherd. Shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. He's coming again. Right? Amen. He's going to have us some crowns to wear, and that it's going to not fade away. Probably made of pure gold. Just try to imagine. He's a king. He does things above and beyond what man can think. Peter was referring to elders as being shepherds over God's flock in the previous verses, but the chief shepherd is Jesus. Pastors are not fit to lead others if they're not following Jesus themselves. Amen. How will you know? You're going to know them by the love. You're going to know them by the fruit. That's where you determine where you go, where you stay. Lord, what am I hearing? Am I getting life or am I getting death? Amen. Am I in bondage here? Or am I free? See, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, the body, there's liberty here. Amen? Liberty. Verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. And this is our text here. And all ye be subject one to another and be clothed. See, I see clothes of humility up here in the Robinson. They're wearing garments of humility. They can't handle that situation. They humble themselves under God. Let Him handle it. See, it's when we try to take it and do it our way, it's when we get in trouble. Yes. That's when we end up appearing before the judge. You know, we don't want to go that far. We take it. We do whatever we can to diffuse the situation quickly. We heard from God, I've got to stop this. I can't go any further. I've got to do what God says to do. And then it's in His court. That's the highest court there can be. Amen. He goes above the Supreme Court. There is no court above Him. And what He says goes. Amen. And then Jesus is right there to be our great advocate and intercessor. So, verse 5 here, likewise ye younger. The word likewise is referring back to 1 Peter 5, 4. In the same way that all elders are to recognize their submission to the chief shepherd, Jesus, likewise the younger are supposed to submit to their elders. It goes hand in hand. But it's not the natural tendency of youth to submit to their parents or their older siblings, is it? It's not the natural tendency. Who do you think you are? Think you all that? Just because you're older than me, just because you're taller than me right now, just because you're taller than me, I'm growing. You know, this is one that's about 10 years old looking at his 16-year-old brother. I'm growing. And you can look at his feet and you know he's the truth because you see the feet on this boy. Your feet grow before the body grows. He's speaking the truth. I'm going to be somebody one day. I was little. I was the baby of the family. But see, that's not God's way. It's a good tenacity to have against the devil. But you know what? I shouldn't be looking up to the devil. I need to be looking down on him. Because he's under my feet, right? If I'm looking up to the devil, we got to reverse that situation. That means I'm not looking to Jesus. Because Jesus took care of him. He's made his footstool, enemies are underneath Jesus' footstool, and we are the body of his head. He's the head of the church, so that means we have the same footstool. Our enemies are supposed to be underneath our feet. Enemies of lack, defeat, doubt, fear. There's a lot of enemies out there, and they all are rooted in pride because the devil is the most haughtiest pride creature out there. He wasn't created that way. He became that way. Because he turned from God and turned to what he wanted to be instead of what God created him to be. Anytime you turn away from God, walk away from God, you're going to start getting into darkness. darkness, darkness, outer darkness. Amen? So never turn our backs on Jesus. Submit to the elder. Definitely submit to Jesus, unto God. And then, what are you hearing today? What is God specifically you're hearing today? Just submit to that. When you do that, you're submitting to the Word of God and you're humbling yourself. And then from that, God will show you. You'll hear from God. See, because He has to resist the proud. If you are disobedient to what He says, then He's resisting you. We don't want God's resistance. Remember, we want His assistance. And He is wanting to assist you as much as He can. But it takes obedience to His Word. Obedience to His Word. Humility, I like this. We're probably going to close here at this point. If anybody knows anything about electricity, and I've been working in it for about 10 years, and there's some things I didn't know about electricity, I found real quick that I need to learn. When sparks go a-flying, and I'm like, whoa, thank you, Jesus, I'm still here. Humility conducts the grace of God like copper conducts electricity. The grace of God, humility, is like that copper. It just attracts the power of God into your life. Humbling yourself, saying, Lord, and it's not, and this is where it's not, we have confidence in God, in His Word, but we, being humble is just like being confident. It's not, Moses was the meekest man on earth. He was confident in God, in His Word. He was the meekest, but meekness is not weakness. Meekness is stability, it's boldness to know I have a covenant with God Almighty and I have done what He told me to do. And I shall not be moved and I shall not be shaken. Because heaven and earth is going to be shaken. It's going to be removed, but the Word of God is going to be steadfast. That's what we hang on to. Heaven and earth is going to be removed, but Your Word shall never fail. Though the heavens be removed, we shall remain. The Word remains. Amen. So whatever you're facing, whatever situation you've got, the grace of God will bring you through. Being humble conducts that grace like copper conducts electricity. Pride stops the flow. Pride is like the insulator. Wood is not a good conductor of electricity. Amen. If you try to hook 120 volt, 240 volts to this, to a 2x4, on the other end of this 2x4, you're not going to get no flow. I'm sorry, dear. The lights are not coming on. You can't hook power to a 2x4 on the wood and have power come out because it just don't flow in that. The power of God flows in humility. Keep humility on you like copper on a wire in your house. And be clothed with humility. And let the love and the power of God flow in your life. Humble yourselves under His mighty hand. And He's going to lift you up in due season. Amen? Amen. We're going to stop right there. And I'm going to pray a prayer over this whole body, but then we're going to receive personal prayers.